Danny Lakey Late Show.
Calling all people obsessed with barbecue chicken. It's time to vote in the barbecue chicken Olympics. What is Australia's favourite
piece of
barbecue chicken?
The world depends on the outcome of this game.
It's the question that's gone unanswered for, well, since the dawn of chicken itself. Aussies love a nice Coles barbecue roast chook on the weekend. It's a great excuse to get the family together. Come over. Mum's picked up a couple of hot chooks. Yeah, just toss a salad together. 10 minutes? Yeah, see you then. But what part of the barbecue chicken is the most valuable?
There's only one part that is even a contender. There's just one.
Now, think very carefully here, because we don't want to have a big on-air dispute about our favourite piece of the chicken this early on in the week.
Well, we all know that mine would, and probably most of Australia's, would be the breast.
Unbelievable.
It's just the easiest and it's the biggest bit. There's no, you know, picking at a bone or anything. It's just right there.
Oh,
juicy, tender.
A simple life for a simple piece of chicken.
What would you be? You'd be something weird, like some grubby bit.
The wing.
You'd be nibbling on those bones.
Yeah, you got to work hard for the wing. Get your teeth right in there. It's not handed to you on a platter. Just a dry pair of chicken tits, the old breast. No. Something a bit more moist, something a bit more juicy, crispy. Mixture of a bit of skin and a bit of white chicken meat. That's where the best part of a chicken
chance.
Is. Shy guy, settle this once and for all. What's the best part of a chicken?
The skin.
Only from KFC's delicious Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, I don't mind a little bit of the barbecue skin. Just peel it off in one big sheet. Stick that in
best.
Your gob.
It's the oiliest and it's the best.
And it's a rare part of the chicken as well. I mean, you got two breasts. You can chop those up. Everyone's happy. Only one man gets the skin. That what make it more elusive. Look, got some of Australia's biggest chicken fans on the line, and we've got 8 of the biggest chicken pieces pitting against each other tonight in the Chicken Olympics. Late scratching, guys. I did get a little excited when carving the chicken and ate the parson's nose. We cannot.
What the hell is the parson's nose?
That's the bit that hangs around the ass at the end. It's very juicy, very tender, full of protein.
Lakey, that's not edible, I don't think.
It is edible. You put me in charge of carving the chicken. I may eat a parson's nose from time to time. It's all right. Late scratching.
You can take all the parson's noses you want.
Parson's nose out, chicken gizzards in.
What's the gizzard?
The guts, the heart, the liver, etc. Look, granted, it may just be making up the numbers. But it's part of the Chicken Olympics,
good
okay?
God.
Stephen in Newcastle, waiting patiently on the line. Speaking of gizzards, it's up against one of the top seeds in the first round. The chicken breast versus the chicken gizzards. No chicken piece left behind. What is the superior chicken piece between the breast and the gizzards?
Mate, eat none of them. The skin.
Yep, no, but you're in charge of voting between these two.
Mate, the gizzards are pretty good.
Whoa! An absolute hijack.
Stephen. You've just ruined the game. You've got rid of the breast.
No, he hasn't. No, he hasn't. He appreciates the rarity of the chicken gizzards and the livers. It's a delicacy.
Stephen. Oh, I'm disappointed, Stephen.
You put him through. Stephen from Newcastle may be a Chinese man who loves chicken livers and hearts. It is Australia's most chickeny democracy. A huge upset in round one.
I'm speechless.
With the breast going out. Vanessa in Melbourne. Stay in your lane, but please give your opinion on the skin versus the wing.
The wing.
Whoa, another big upset and the Shy Guy's not happy. But I tell you what, it's one for the wing lovers. There we go.
I would go skin over wing.
Well, not me and Vanessa. We know a good piece of chicken when we see it. Thank you, Vanessa. Simon in Mackay.
Yeah,
good day, mate.
How are you, mate?
Good, thank you. You are tasked between the chicken thigh and the chicken oyster. Another delicacy.
What's the chicken oyster?
Two oysters in each chicken. You sort of pop it out of its back near where its hindquarters and leg is. No, it's very moist. It's a great piece. You can check it out on the Danny Lakey Late Show Instagram page. We've got a live chicken oyster. No. Okay. I guess you're a thigh man then.
Yeah, go the thigh, Simon.
Yeah, you've got to go the thigh, mate.
Right, the thigh.
The thighs, she squats.
Okay. Thigh. Thank you very much. And the final quarterfinal, we go to Wayne on the Gold Coast. It is up to you to tell us the superior piece of chicken between the stuffing and the leg.
Gotta go to the leg, mate. Gotta go to the leg.
Drumstick.
Oh, another big thing. You can get a great, like, rosemary, cranberry kind of stuffing.
To be honest, my head said the stuffing, but my heart says the leg, because technically you have to put the stuffing in. It is a foreign object going into the chicken.
It's a fair
not a natural
call.
Part of the chicken. One may, again, accuse us of making up the numbers. That is the quarterfinals, done and dusted for the Chicken Olympics. 13-10-60, if you'd like to be part of the semi-finals. And what the semi-finals they are. Gizzard taking on the wing. And the thigh taking on the leg. A battle of the limbs in the second semi.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
What is Australia's favourite piece of the barbecue chicken?
We are down to the semi-finals. Some unbelievable upsets just seen in the quarterfinals of the Barbecue Chicken Olympics before, where the top eight pieces of a hot chook have been going against each other. You can check out all the action on the Insta story at Danny Lakey Late Show right now. Still gobsmacked by Gizzard's beating breasts in the quarterfinal.
Stephen just wanted to throw a curveball, and I'm quite mad at him, to be honest.
Look,
everyone knows the breast is best.
Stephen wasn't having a bar of either the breast or the gizzards. Tried to stage a dirty protest by calling an outright winner in the skin. Feely then maybe got a little bit embarrassed, panicked. But that's part of the chicken democracy and the chicken Olympics. Upsets
happen.
Trying to
be the cool guy.
The wing beat the skin. The thigh beat the oyster. Partly because there's a lack of education with the chicken oyster in this day and age. And the leg beat the stuffing. The first semi-final between the gizzard and the wing. Jeremy, waiting in the wings, dare I say... It's time to vote.
It's definitely got to be the wing there, Danny.
Nice. Because the gizzard had already knocked out Chewy Louie's favourite part of the chicken.
Yep.
If the gizzard had somehow taken out mine as well, all hell would have broken loose. The wing through to the grand final. No surprises there. Jenny in Tasmania, hello.
Hello.
We are through to the second semi-final. It all rests on you, Jen. The superior part of a Coles barbecue chicken out of the thigh and the leg.
Definitely the tender thigh.
Wow.
Great choice, Jenny.
Definitely the tender thigh. I mean, you can hear it in her heart. She bleeds chicken thigh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can't get that kind of tenderosity in a grainy old chicken drumstick.
Yum, yum.
Yummy, yummy indeed. The tender thigh through to the grand final. It is the wing taking on the thigh. As we always do in the grand final, it is best of five sets. I cast my vote, Chewy Louie casts her vote, and then three of the biggest barbecue chicken fans on the planet. Best of five, first to three. Chicken Olympic grand final, wing versus thigh. I think we all know where my alliances lie.
Yes.
Wing at the start, wing to the end, wing for the win. One vote wing.
And we know where my heart lies. Go the thigh.
Oh, the tender thigh. You wouldn't read about it. One said all. Going through to the listeners. Dan on the Gold Coast. Hello.
Yeah. So what was it again?
Well, you've heard all the action so far. It's one vote to the wing, one vote to the thigh. Keep in mind this is on a Coles barbecue chicken. You've got to think the rotisserie blend.
I just wanted you to repeat it because I know it's the thigh, mate.
Wow. Two votes to the thigh.
Go the thigh.
One
We're
vote to
on
the wing.
Jen.
Don't tell me the wing's fatiguing this late in the piece. Jess, on the Central Coast. Best of five between the good thanks. Best of five between the wing and the thigh. It's currently two votes to the thigh. One vote.
It's got
to
be the wing.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, good God. We're in a tiebreaker.
Oh, wow. Never did Nate in Newcastle wake up this morning thinking he had this much responsibility to go through at 25 past eight on a Monday evening. Nate?
Guys.
Consuming a lot of barbecue chicken?
I do like a Woolies chicken.
Right, because we don't want a spring chicken voting in this finale.
I have to say, I think you need to call the Chicken Olympic Committee together for a bit of a doping scandal at the start.
Yeah, well, I mean, don't get me wrong. The correct paperwork has been lodged. I assume you're referring to the breast and the gizzards.
I am indeed. But look, if I was going for a second piece, it'd have to be the thigh.
Yes, oh! Nate! Go the thigh.
Unbelievable.
Juicy. Second best for the breast, of course.
The tender thigh takes it out in the Chicken Olympics.
Wonderful.
Unbelievable. The thigh, 3 votes. 2 votes to the wing. Check out the full draw on the Danny Lakey Late Show Instagram. Fair to say, winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Go Lakey, go Lakey.
Get around me.
No.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Burglars steal solid gold toilet worth £5 million in a raid on Blenheim Palace. Big news of the day. The solid gold toilet, titled America, was created in 2016 by Italian artist Maurizio Catalan and installed at the palace. Burglars stole the 18-carat gold lavatory, and the toilet remains missing with a man 66 arrested in connection. So they've sniffed down a culprit, potentially. No sign of the solid gold, Danny, which would be worth a lot, Bob.
It's got to be an inside job, Lakey. There's no way anyone's walking out of a building with a toilet, let alone a solid gold one. Isn't gold very heavy?
Very heavy.
Like,
yeah.
you couldn't carry that on your own.
No.
You need 4 or 5 men.
At least. Dare I say, maybe a trolley, a pulley system as well.
A digger.
You're going to have to pay a couple of security guards to turn a blind eye to that.
Exactly.
The palace tweeted it would be closed today due to an unforeseen incident. Thames Valley Police confirmed the toilet was stolen and a group of offenders used at least 2 vehicles. Well, there you go. 5 men, at least 2 vehicles. Plenty of people to split the profits of the gold toilet with there. I mean, this will all play out in due course. Dare I say, they're onto the 66-year-old ringleader. They'll manage to get to the bottom. They'll find and reclaim the solid gold toilet. You can't hide an 18-carat gold toilet forever.
You'd have to chip away at it and sell the gold separately.
Yeah.
Someone's going to know if you're selling a gold toilet on eBay.
Absolutely. This case will get cracked, all in good course, and it will enter, at the appropriate stages, the toilet-based legal system, which is flooded with cases at the moment, may I say.
In the criminal justice system,
toilet-based crimes,
they're considered especially heinous. These are their stories.
It's time to enter the toilet-based crimes courtroom.
And if we can just help free up the toilet-based courtroom a little bit tonight by doing our own sort of social justices. There are a lot of toilet disputes going on. Maybe you've got a roommate who's doing something a little bit sus in the toilet. Maybe there's some sort of workplace toilet dispute. Anything toilet-related, any toilet-based disputes, 131060, we'll take it into the toilet-based crime courtroom and see if we can get to the end of it. I told you this story a couple of months ago about my roommate who was cleaning the ceiling in the bathroom. And she must have dropped something or landed on something. And she landed on the top bit of the toilet, the sort of porcelain bit where the flush is.
She landed on it.
Yeah, she landed on it.
God.
And she cracked it in half. So now every time, and it's been like this for 3 months now, there's a massive gaping hole in the porcelain. And you know when you flush and you can see the pulley system and stuff. Every time you flush, you can see that. You can see that water that's about to get flushed down the toilet each time.
Why have you not fixed it?
Well, she should have fixed it. Months ago. It hasn't gotten through the toilet-based crimes courtroom yet. I brought it up with my roommate. He's sort of the head of the house. He said, oh, no, it's all right. It's no big deal. No big deal.
You're like, I could see this water.
Yeah. I'll be seeing the pulley system. No, it's too much. I'm a classy man, and I wish I had the resources and finances to take her into the toilet-based courtroom. That's what we're talking about tonight. I remember a lady a few workplaces back. It was quite a small business, and the boss had invested in high-quality toilet paper.
Like a thick stuff.
Yeah,
your 5-ply.
Your Kleenex Cottonelle sort of blend.
Basically a tissue.
Mm-hmm. And she abused the privileges. She was siphoning rolls out of the workplace.
You can't be doing that when your boss has made he spent a lot of money getting lovely toilet paper for your bum.
Yeah. And she got caught one day. Guess what? Fired from the job. Staff all email sent out. And now back to that shitty 2-ply stuff, the industrial paper.
Oh, ruined it for everyone.
Oh, no. I mean, this is the sort of toilet-based conundrums we're looking for on 131060. To run through the courtrooms tonight, Emma in Newcastle.
Yeah.
Hello. What's your case?
So my next-door neighbour, she always comes over and wants to steal my toilet paper.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, no. The shop's like not even 600 metres down the road. Go get it yourself.
May I ask you to just calm down in the courtroom, please?
No, I could feel her pain. That's annoying. Toilet paper's $2.
Well, it's very
annoying. Get your own.
No, this is true. No, this is true.
Order,
Emma. Please.
My client, please. Basically.
Calm your client down, Lawyer Lou. My only question is, how did it get to the stage where someone's allowed to come over and ask for the toilet paper. My next door neighbour knocks on my door, asks for some toilet paper. I say, right, just this once. The second they do it a second or third time, you tell them to F off.
Yes, doesn't get it, mate.
No, you
also,
don't get it.
Another question from me, even though you are my client and I shouldn't be asking you questions. Have they gone to the toilet and then not wiped and then gone, oh, I need toilet paper, or are they preempting a poo?
Yeah, preempting the plop. That's very important information.
I say she's preempting.
Yeah, well, once again, you can't prove it. I mean, it's a bizarre case that may need to be referred to the higher toilet courts. I can't make a judging at this point of time. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, just tell them. Piss off.
Yes. Yes, you should.
Calm down, Emma, please.
Take it into your own hands or take it to the higher court. Too many details that we definitely couldn't get through there. I'm a very angry customer. Coral in Broadbeach. Hello.
I have to walk to the supermarket and bring back a trolley of toilet rolls past the neighbours. How embarrassing is that one? A trolley full of toilet paper rolls and then take the supermarket trolley back.
Why?
What? I mean, granted, sometimes the courts do attract the lower portion of class in Australia.
I apologise for my clients.
Never did I see this happen. I mean, is this just a toilet gripe? Was it 13, 10, 60? How many toilet rolls are you carrying back in your trolley? I don't understand. Who are you suing?
Oh, good God.
She's bamboozled herself.
Not guilty!
To whoever you may be accusing. Jamie in Melbourne. Hello.
Hi, mate. How you going?
Good, thank you. Now, who are you trying to sue in the toilet courtroom and what is the problem?
My sister.
Good.
She will go to the toilet either late at night or early in the morning, piss the entire toilet roll, and leave like one square on it that you can't use.
The tactical, she doesn't want to replenish, she's passing it on. Obviously, it's what we call snookering in the toilet game.
Pure laziness.
Yeah.
So then what are you forced to do?
Either try and hobble to get some more toilet roll or make a phone call at like 5 a.m. in the morning.
Yep, I see. And why is your sister using so much roll? Is she a scruncher or a folder?
Oh, she'd definitely be a scruncher.
Yeah, definitely a scruncher.
Maybe she's got bigger issues, like IBS or something.
IBS, could be crying a lot on the toilet.
Yeah.
Dusting off a lot of tears.
Yeah, honestly, that probably sounds like
it. I think, though, just leaving a man one square left at the end for him to dab his penis or have to fold it into eights at the last minute. Probably got a
not
case there,
guilty.
Mate.
Not
guilty.
Guilty is what I meant to do.
Guilty. The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Banana water draws scathing criticism online. Well, you're always going to get a bit of criticism about your banana water if you post it online, won't you? That's where the haters go to hate.
It's not a thing. Bananas are not meant to be mushed up in water.
Exhibit B. A nice chilled jar of banana water at a 5-star hotel.
Bananas are to be eaten on their own or added to porridge or with a big dollop of peanut butter, not in your water. Chuck some cucumber in there if you want it in your water.
Look, it's this kind of closed-minded attitude that has held water back for so long. You ever ask someone what their favourite drink is? How often do they say water? Never. Because they're not zhuzhing it up. Not adding all the bells and whistles like we could be. I mean, if you can add a slice of cucumber to the water, why can't you add a slice of banana or two?
Because they're just soggy and it's not the right type of fruit to add to it.
Because I've never seen it on Instagram before and I don't like change, is what Chewy Louie's trying to say there.
No.
This is a world where anything can be added to water, as long as it's consumable. If you're eating it, you can put it in your jug of water. I can't believe how defensive you are about my nice jug of banana water over here with all its nice bit of banana floaties and its banana plankton. And you won't even share a nice, chilling, refreshing glass with me.
Nope.
How dare you?
How dare you think that that's even a drink?
Banana water is the new thing. And may I say, bottoms up.
Look, it's got floaties.
It tastes brilliant. It really does. It's a shame. You like banana milk?
I like bananas on their own. Banana anything is just gross. Like the banana like Starburst, no thank you. Banana Fruit Burst, no, no, no.
I would encourage anyone right now to go home, put your feet up tonight, pour yourself a nice big jug with a full banana, let it marinate for about 30 minutes, and then guzzle it down. It's one of the best things that's ever happened to me. And on 131060, I'd like to ask, what are you putting in your water?
What are you putting in your water?
And I'll say it right off the bat right now. None of the big three citrus fruits, please. We don't need phones being clogged up with, yeah, I'm so edgy, man. I put a slice of lime in my water when I'm feeling adventurous.
Everyone's having lemon thinking that they're the picture of health. And no.
Don't get me wrong. You can have lemon if you're going to be adding something else. By all means, come to the party then. If you're doing a lemon and elderflower sort of addition to your water, that's cool.
If I'm feeling a bit adventurous or feeling like I need a bit of health as well, I'll put turmeric and cinnamon in my water.
Well, there you go. Good.
Very good. Adventurous.
Yeah, good. Good. Join me over at Banana Lane with your cinnamon shakes.
No, we'll be keeping our waters very clear from
each
other.
If we combined our waters, we could make the first dairy-free banana milkshake. That is an absolute... Turmeric and, what do you say, cinnamon. With my banana water.
No, we're keeping combined. Them very separately.
Oh, we're stronger as one, Shuey.
No,
we are stronger
you.
As one.
Stay in your lane.
Look, I wouldn't mind a few parsley additions. I used to add 5 bags of green tea to a water bottle every day. And just sip on it throughout the day for a slow, sustaining caffeine release. Yeah. Yeah, 5 green tea bags with a bit of mint.
That doesn't sound right.
Well, sorry, Mrs. Turmeric Powders over there. Just adding your own
concoctions. No, you can't be having 5 of those tea bags, sorry, Lakey.
Try this brown liquid. It's bubbling. It's nice. 131060. Now, there's a whole community of people out there adding things to their water. Crystal, in Melbourne, what are you adding to your water?
Well, may I just open by saying I think water is actually delicious and it is my favourite drink, no matter how bland y'all think it is.
Crystal.
What a fun sponge!
I like to add chia seeds to my water.
Ooh. Oh, I do like that because they go quite jelly-ish and it's very good fibre.
Yeah, like it doesn't taste like much, but it's an interesting texture, so it switches things up a bit.
Well, why change the taste when water is just delicious by itself? I'll just start
by
saying that.
That's exactly right.
Well, much like I'm
You know what? Sorry, just quickly. Banana water and chia seed water. You're probably onto something there.
There we go. Don't mind that.
Mix them together.
I'm keen to indulge in some chia because I'm a textures man. And
I've got some in my drawer.
Great. Bring them in. Bring in the seeds.
Give it a go.
So what you're creating almost like that bubble tea sort of texture at the end there, aren't you?
Because they expand. You've got to be careful, though. They get stuck in your teeth, like you're not good if you're out dating.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Crystal. Carmen on the sunny coast. Hello.
Oh, how are you?
Good, thank you. What are you adding to your water?
I like to add turmeric, banana and carrot.
No. No time for that.
And I just like put it in a blender. But I see I don't have milk. So I just have the water.
Carmen. Okay, Carmen, what you have described is just your favourite juice.
It's a juice
jar. that's literally juice. I saw it there. I thought, nah, she must just add slices of it and let it simmer on top.
Little cut up carrots in there,
a
bit of turmeric.
Yeah, no, that's just a juice. That's a smoothie. That's all that is.
Without milk, because I don't do dairy and I can't have anything acidic. So bananas are really good for a lot of different things.
It's
we've got a lot of health callers tonight, haven't we, Lakey?
Yeah, really diverting from the real cause. I like to add continental cream of chicken cuppa soup to my water. Yep, that's just a soup, mate.
Yep.
Interesting. Emma in Wangaratta, what do you add to your water?
Sugar-free cordial.
Yep, no.
Again.
People aren't quite understanding.
A juice?
Jesus Christ. Nikki in Mermaid Beach, what are you adding to your water?
Hello. I like to eat a lollipop in the water and you suck the lollipop with the water on it and you just have the whole glass that way.
Fantastic. Honestly, let's quit while we're ahead. Lollipop in the water is the best we're going to get.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Happy International Locate an Old Friend's Day. One of my favourite days. Locate an Old Friend Day. It's all about tracking down old friends. I mean, because tracking down old pals can be tough. It can even be quite scary sometimes. Oh, have they changed? Have I changed? However, Locate an Old Friend Day is about reconnecting with these people from long years past. It's about reintroducing former relations into your life, catching up with them on what's happening in your life and their life now, and just reminiscing on the nostalgic events. Mm. Quite a nice concept.
I've got a few friends I'd like to locate, I reckon.
Yeah, it would be a bit fun. I'm a man of the land, living in many houses in many different states across Australia. International traveller. Mm. Got pals peppered all around the world.
Look, I'm going to jump in here because I don't believe that. I don't believe you have many, if any, friends.
Hey!
I haven't seen you once catch up with anyone for coffee.
Wait! Hey, we've been very open on the show. The past year, I have been working hard and have maybe neglected certain social situations.
Maybe.
In the place I'm
you
in
absolutely
okay.
have.
All right, I'm not saying I've made any new friends this year.
You haven't
past
made any
year.
Friends here.
Okay.
You don't do anything with friends in the weekends.
I'll have you know. Apart from this year, the 28 years before that have been very social for the old Big Dub.
Well, I would like to put that to the test because...
I'd like to put it to the test as well.
Lakey always brags about how many... old friends he has. But can he locate an old friend on international... Locate a friend day.
We're going to put 2 minutes on the clock and no one has been G'd up here. 131060, are you an old friend of mine?
A legit friend as
legit
well.
Friend.
Like, we're not having people calling up being like, oh, I listen to the show all the time, I'm a good mate. No,
I would have had to meet them in person.
Yes.
Over the past 10, 15, 5 years, whatever.
And I hate to dampen your spirits, but no one's going to call Lakey.
All it takes is one. There must be someone listening there out there because I've done many stints in New South Wales, Victoria, Queensland, all along the eastern seaboard. And I bet there's someone...
I just don't think anyone's going to call.
Nah, well, it's only, you know...
You and your mates.
Back when I used to drink, I was very social, okay? I really was.
If someone does call, we're going to hear some inappropriate stories, I bet.
Okay, you know what? It's going to be super embarrassing if no one calls. So, can we take acquaintances? I mean, not
yeah, okay.
good. Like people.
You've had to at least hung out with them twice.
We've chatted. We've chatted before.
Yeah.
Whether it be briefly.
We'll take acquaintances because there's
party.
Not a single soul calling, Lakey.
Maybe we did a uni class together.
Yeah, I'll take that. Just anyone who knows Lakey.
In real life. Well, I've got a lot of people who listen to Triple J.
Yeah, well, if they were your friends, they'd be listening to you.
They'd just be a bit stage show, wouldn't they?
You reckon? I mean, not one single phone line is lit up.
Come on, come on.
Even I want people to call. Come on, Lakey's friends. Yeah, acquaintances.
You know what? I was convinced either Maddie or Pikey would be calling him. I was convinced that someone was going to be calling.
Who are they? Old friends from drinking?
Yeah, good friends. Good friends I haven't spoken to in about 10 years, but still great mates.
Good mates.
Real good mates.
Good mates that you don't catch up with ever.
Come on, guys. Acquaintances, confidants, anyone. Please, come on. Okay. Give me a call.
We might.
Okay, we've got two. We've got two.
We've got
calls
two calls
through.
On there.
We've got two calls coming through. Let's go to Janine. Hello, Janine.
Yes. Yes.
Hi.
Hello, long lost relatives.
Well, look, really okay. happy that you've called in. Janine's not ringing a bell for me. That's all.
It
awesome.
Will.
Yeah.
It will.
How do I know?
You like me are the black sheep of your side of the family.
Hmm.
I'm the black sheep of my side of the family.
Yeah, but have we met before?
Yes, yes we have, but you were very young. But yes, so we have met. And we actually met about 5 years ago again.
Where was that?
I know they're unmemorable.
Yeah, but...
Janine, but, yeah, I reckon you're pulling my leg.
Well, I think you're like some sort of psychic or something. It's just trying to like, be like all spiritual. Oh, yeah.
No, absolutely, that's true. We really did. And I really am a lady.
Well, where was this?
We met a couple of times. We met at an old person's birthday party.
An old person's birthday party?
Yes, it was a while ago.
How old was Lakey?
Nah, get this lady off. I haven't been going to old people's birthday parties.
Yes, you were, and you were whinging the entire time.
Oh, that sounds like him.
No, absolutely.
That sounds like him, Janine.
Absolutely not. No, cut her off. Cut her off. Matt in Coffs Harbour. Hello.
How you going?
Yeah.
Maddie
people,
boy.
This is people who will call it up. This is just people who will call it up. Unless your last name begins with an F, I don't know who you are.
It sure does.
Met her.
No, it doesn't sound like it. It's not. What's the second letter of that name, that last name?
T.
T.
P.
P.
P for Tom.
Well, no one's last name starts with FT.
That doesn't make sense.
That's ridiculous. I wouldn't hang out with someone like this. No, absolutely not. Where do I know you from, Matt?
Pardon?
Nah. Oh, no.
This has been a big shambles, Lakey. No. Not one friend.
Just two prank calls.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
A farting contest is being held in India to normalise the process. Well, about time. I'm sick of people saying, ugh, gross, whenever
I fart. That's usually me because I sit next to you at our desk.
How many times do I need to tell you I'm just checking that I don't have diarrhoea?
Well, what if you did one day and then you've shat it?
Well, then I'll know, won't I? Checkmate. Farts have always been hilarious and almost a personal expression of one's existence. Nothing says I'm alive like your body producing flatulent gas and then letting it out the end. Bloody brilliant. And I'm glad that the Indians have cottoned on here. It's the country's first farting contest, and it's due to take place next Sunday in the western state of Gujarat. Entrants will be judged on the volume, yeah, of course, length, and musicality of their bum coughs.
What do you mean musicality?
Well, I'm guessing whether they can start at one pitch, maybe go a little bit lower in the same release, and then lift it back up again at the end.
Who has created this?
What's his name? 48-year-old man called Yatin Sangoy. He's a singer.
I reckon we need to get you over there and to enter it.
I wouldn't stand a chance against the Indians. You know, when I went on my silent meditation course, I was that close to walking out because a man in front of me would just let loose the whole time. He was that guy who, like, literally was just, he was so Indian. And he wouldn't even drink out of a cup. Like, he must have lived in the most remote village ever. He didn't know how to use a cup, so he'd drink out of his hands. And then he'd just fart, like his loudest farts, and not even flinch, because it obviously wasn't a weird thing to do where he was from.
Did they smell?
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah, some of the most rotten gas I've ever smelled in my whole life.
Oh, yuck, Lakey.
Man, I'm right in the firing zone. Oh. I'm right in the slip. That's why I couldn't get into my deep meditative state. Blaming it on him. His brown clouds flowing into my nostrils. Anyway, he came from a land that's more enlightened than me, just farting away, making expressions of his own. And we thought on 131060, what a golden opportunity, not only to beat the Indians to the punch next Sunday when they host their own farting contest, but also to maybe do a radio first.
It's time for what we're claiming to be a world first. Welcome to the first ever fart. Competition.
Well, this is very exciting stuff.
Excuse me, you've taken off your top.
Yeah, I've taken my shirt off.
Are you really getting that into this, that you've taken your top off?
I do need my top off to provide the best fart sound effect I can because...
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm what they call unorthodox in the fart game because obviously tonight we'd dramatically drop the amount of calls we're going to get if we said perform a real fart into your phone on loudspeaker whilst driving. Not going to happen. You can make the fart sound out of your mouth. You can make the fart sound out of your hands. You can do one of the armpit farts, which I'm about to perform very soon. What you'll be judged on tonight, of course, the volume, the length, the musicality in your fart, but also sound accuracy. How accurate does it sound? Am I believing that it's a fart coming out of the bum? How real is it? And also difficulty level. Of course, it's easy to make a fart out of the mouth. That's fine. By all means, back yourself in. Slightly harder to make a fart noise with your hands. The ultimate is performing the armpit fart, which I shall do now.
People do this when they're about 7 years old.
A high degree of difficulty.
Oh, my God.
That was good. That was good.
You literally have the biggest grin on your face. You're so chuffed.
What are the judges holding on out there?
Six, zero. Point,
six, seven, seven and a half. Yeah, nice. Nice job. Nice job. Yeah, I've been training all week for that one. 131060 for the best fart sound effect. Troy in Melbourne, hello.
Yeah, what's going on?
Just judging a fart competition on radio at the moment. You would have heard before that the judges are looking for sound accuracy. How believable is it that it's a real fart? The difficulty level and how well you've replicated what you're going to say. Talk us through the fart that you're going to perform before you perform it. Fluff.
I'm going to be performing a wet fart. You know when you fart? Mm-hmm. You know when you just, like, you got to go and you just fart and it's just wet as.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
oh, you're classic. God, I don't want to be a part of this. This is so grim.
Your classic wetty. Whenever you're ready, Troy, go for it.
Right?
It's diarrhea.
Look.
That's a wet fart.
that is very wet. The judges are saying too wet. in an unprecedented fart comp first, the judges say too wet, too long, too loud. There's too much bubbling going on.
I agree with all of the above.
Yeah, 3 out of 10 from the judges, I think. Patsy in Melbourne, hello.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, thank you. Talk us through this fart and the method that you'll be going with. Is it a mouth fart that you'll be doing?
It's a bit of a mouth fart. It's always been a bit of a party stopper.
Great.
okay. I just add a little bit of a... it's kind of like a talky fart.
All right.
Take it away. Whatever this concept is that you've created, I'm more than open to hear it. Go for it.
Okay. It's a chatty bottom fart.
Oh, now, I love the giggle at the end. That brings a whole new level of realism to it, because that's exactly the kind of thing I do when I do a fart under the covers by myself late at night. It's the fart followed by the follow-up laugh, just letting everyone know that everything's above board. It was a successful transmission of air. To be honest, though, it was just a quiet version of Troy's fart, really.
Oh, some would say more.
It's bubbling away.
We've got audio evidence. Some would say more realistic, so I think it's a 5 out of 10 mm-hmm. for Patsy. Well done. Jordan in Bendigo, hello.
Hello.
Oh, great. How old are you, Jordan?
I'm 12.
Yeah, beautiful. Obviously, we've got the parents' permission here, and dare I say a hot favourite in the competition. He is fresh from practice. Some adults haven't released one of these fake farts for a long time. Jordan's probably pulling these multiple times a day. What avenue will we be farting through, Jordan?
Pardon me?
What orifice will you be farting through?
He's 12, Lakey.
Mouth?
There you go.
Hand.
Hand?
Hand and mouth.
So, great. The classic blow into, as you cock your wrists, you blow good into mats. Both palms.
Yeah.
This is going to be great. I
hope so. You want me to do it now?
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
Okay.
It sounded like a didgeridoo.
It's very brass. Once again, you hear people get too enthusiastic being on the air, getting to perform a fart, and it loses the realism. It was too up there for too long. I was looking for more of a natural fade off at the end, Jordan.
Sounded like the beginning of the Timmy Trumpet song.
Yeah, it did. And we want not only the beginning of the Timmy Trumpet song, but the nice ending to the Timmy Trumpet song. I mean, you're young. You've got a long way to go on the fart comp. Come back next year. Dare I say you've got a bright future ahead of you. We'll hook you up with some movie tickets. Dylan, final caller on 131060. You're in Emu Park. Hello.
How's it going, mate?
Good. I'm led to believe you're performing a fart out of your mouth as well.
Yep.
Whenever you're ready.
It's not going to be a fully wet one, but it's going to be a little wet one.
Great, okay. Great. Because we haven't heard many dry farts in the comp tonight.
We need an in-betweener.
Yeah. Whenever you're ready.
Wow.
It's the driest fart we've had. It was music to my ears. It was beautiful. There's a tear in my eye. I feel like I can smell it right here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, it was real.
I believe it. Unbelievable.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
I'm a man. Being a man usually means that you've got your favourite cologne, bit of aftershave. And sometimes I'll go out on the weekend for a sneaky date. I obviously put my best foot forward, my best iron shirt, my best pair of jeans, my going out boots, and I tie my hair up in a top knot. There's only one last thing for the old lake dog to do. Have a little spritz.
What cologne are you running?
Well, it used to be Davidoff Cool Water, but I've recently ran dry of that. So it's, I think it's called Million Reasons.
Yes, the like gold that. One.
It is. It
one
is
millionth.
Gold. Yeah, one millionth. Yeah, it must be. Yeah, it's a bit nice gold number. And just before I'm about to go, oh, spritz. Yeah, of course, almost forgot. And I'd already sprayed my Lynx Africa on both pits, but it was time for an extra spritz.
Grow up. Get rid of that.
I begin to spritz. Left bit of neck. right bit of neck, middle bit of neck, left wrist, left forearm, right wrist, right forearm, and my pubis. My pubis.
Okay, hang on a moment.
My pubis.
There's two things here. One, nobody needs 7 or 8 spritzes. You've got 2 spots you spray, which is the side of your neck and your wrist, and you rub them together and then you dab on the other side of the neck. You only need 2 spots. And the second thing, which is more important, why the hell are you spraying your pubes? Nobody needs to do that.
Guys,
do you smell down there?
Excuse me. Out of context. Upper pubis.
Still, irregardless, why?
Just above the pubis, below the belly button.
Who needs to do that? You smell down there. Have a shower.
It's not that. It's just an extra touch. It's just in case things maybe go to the next level, it's my secret spritzy spot. It's where I go. Oh, hang on. Digital Trends coming for a second.
Sometimes I spray my fanny when I think I'm going to get some.
Wow. See, everyone's got a little secret spritz.
Oh, my good God.
Everyone's got a secret spritz.
It's 8:10, you two. Can you tone it with your what you're saying?
Everyone's got a secret spritz. And I feel most people are spraying between 5 to 8 sprays. I think you're under spritzing.
No, honestly, if you've got good quality perfume or cologne, 2 spritzes, all you need.
And you're telling me that your secret spritzy spot is your wrist.
Your wrist or just the side of your neck?
No.
Yes, like it.
See, when I used to have my ears pierced back in the day and stretched a bit, I always used to get paranoid that my ears were a little bit smelly. So my secret spritzy spot used to be behind the back of my ear.
You know, that's where
dish off one there
all
as well.
Like the top, I don't know what you'd call them, perfumists, say where to spray, behind your ears. So you're ahead of the ball there.
Well, there you go. That's
but not your pubes.
Secret spritzy spots. I guarantee. 13 10 60. I think we need to ask this.
The Danny Lakey Late Show wants to know, where are you spritzing?
Where are you spritzing? And I mean, how many spritz as well?
Not 7.
Now you're gonna find that you are dramatically under spritzing in this day and age. Mel, where are you spritzing?
Hello. I agree with you, Danny. Like, you've got to do the 6 to 8 spritzes. Yes, the neck and the inner upper thighs. It's not the upper pubis region, but it's the inner upper thighs. It's close.
Just below the pubis, but in the thigh area.
But why? Yeah. Why the thighs?
There are places on the human body that need to be spritzed. And regardless of, like, the expensive perfume I wear, Chanel, I'm like, I do the neck, I do under my arms, even though that's deodorant space, and then I do the upper inner thighs. It's what it's got to be.
And there's a tinge of getting lucky about the place, isn't there? There's a tinge
of
accompanying a person.
You're having an air of confidence, right? You want to smell good and be confident.
There we go.
Do you know, I have thought of a secret spot.
Oh, here we
Sometimes
go.
Sometimes if I've had too many durries on the weekend, I will spray my hair.
Oh, boring. Hey, girls, check out my secret spritzy spot. Just on top of the dome here. Anyone? Any takers? No! Back around the pubis. Thanks, Mel. Rebecca in Brisbane. Where are you spritzing?
Hi, I'm spritzing my hair.
Oh. Oh, fair enough. No, yeah, that's cool. That's cool, Rebecca.
It's a thing. You could do the spritz in your hair, Lakey.
Well, there'd be no need to because I'm
You've already sprayed 800 other sprays?
I'm spritzy enough. I've already got a thin coat all over my body. No need for the hair. Nick, wrap this up on 13 10 60. Where are you spritzing?
Spritzing my beard, actually.
Ooh. Now, this is some hair follicle I can get around. But yeah, occasionally my beard smells a little bit. How many spritzes? What's the thinking behind it?
So, 3. So, I get a nice comb, obviously, because it's pretty lengthy. And then I go one on the left, one on the right, and then one in the middle. So, all around.
You don't want to get lucky. Exactly. And you don't want a lady favouring one side of the beard.
It's all beard or nothing.
Absolutely. You know what? I'm adding another 3 spritzes
thinking,
to my regime.
Nick's just added another spritz.
I'm an 11 spritz man.
Good God.
Always have, always will be.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
You know what I was thinking? We haven't stepped foot into hypothetical funland for a while now.
It's been a while.
Ages since a hypothetical funland scenario was getting around. This is a land, if you haven't been there before, where nothing is off limits. Your imagination can run as wild and as free as you want. This is a segment where very, very seldom can you be shut down for your ideas because it's all hypothetical. Very hard to hypothetically shut down a hypothetical idea, Shuey Lou. Got me thinking, and the internet's a little awry and abuzz with this topic at the moment as well. It's time to jump inside. hypothetical fun land. What would you do in hypothetical fun land? What would you do? What would you do? Hypothetical question for you. What would you do in hypothetical fun land? What would you do in hypothetical fun land? What would you do? What would you do? Hypothetical question for you. Hypothetical question for hypothetical fun land tonight is the following. You have a hypothetical child. And hypothetically, you've got to name this hypothetical child. And hypothetically, you have to name it a brand or a company. And hypothetically, if you name it that company, the company thinks, well, that's hypothetically free advertising for us. We'll reward you for the whole of the child's life with free products.
Oh, this is great.
From that company. It's quite the fun one to let your mind run wild in. So obviously, I mean, front and center, I think a safe bet would be IKEA. Hypothetically, you could name your son or daughter IKEA. It's going to be a little bit weird, but it's not going to be subject to extreme bullying in the schoolyard. So you're all right with that name. And then you get free IKEA products for life. And that is a real slow burn. You can pretty much decorate any house that you ever live in.
That's
any
very
sort of little bits and pieces.
From you.
Is that you get a lot of value for money. Well, that would be the safe bet. But I've elected to more just go with Woolworths. Screw the child. I'd like to get free groceries forever.
Genius. That'll save nice you hundreds of dollars a week.
It's a balancing act, though, I must admit. Hypothetically, you don't want to ruin the child's life by calling it Woolworths or something. But, geez, the pull of the free groceries is a very strong one, isn't it? Hypothetically.
Worth it. I think I would go really basic here, and I would call my child Gucci. And I just get shipped all these Gucci sneakers and Gucci handbags and Gucci shoes and Gucci jewelry and Gucci tops.
Yeah, I mean, hypothetically, I don't want to hypothetically burst your hypothetical bubble.
They do homeware too, Lakey.
Do they really?
They do.
I'm just thinking, isn't the special thing about Gucci because it's so rare and you've got your one Gucci bag, that's what makes it great. It wouldn't ruin hypothetically.
No,
it wouldn't hypothetically ruin Gucci.
Covered in Gucci.
You'd love to be covered in Gucci. Your whole life covered in Gucci. Wow.
Gucci.
No, fair enough. You're covered in Gucci your whole life. I guess it doesn't get old. Shy Guy, hypothetically?
Hypothetically, Apple.
Nice, Shy
Genius.
Guy. That's a good one because
you get the latest products every year.
Latest products. You always got the best iPhone, the strongest working iPad.
iWatch.
And that's going to go down fine if you've got a daughter called Apple. Nice one. Josh in Canberra, hello.
Hey.
Hypothetically, what would you call your kid if hypothetically you had to call them a brand and then the brand gave you free shit for life?
I would definitely go Costco.
Ah, yes.
Costco's got everything, doesn't it?
He's one-upped me on my Woolworths kid is what's going on there. Costco, I don't think I've been to a Costco before. It's the bulk stuff,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
But what?
Yeah,
it's massive.
So what would a Costco stock that a Woolworths wouldn't?
Everything giant?
Fridges, coffins, appliances, all that stuff.
Right,
vacuum
fridges and
cleaners,
appliances.
Coffins, mattresses.
Ah, okay, a whole heap of that stuff. Okay.
If you're planning on dying, there you go.
Nice one. Cool. Oh, he's got me there. Not much to say for the kid and its well-being, though. I feel that's a whole lifetime of bullying, but doesn't matter when you can buy them all the Costco goods in the world, does it?
Yep. Worldwide, too.
Nice. That's
take
a good
it international.
One. He could come out of hypothetical funland and go to the States and still get bang for his buck there. Great. Movie tickets for you. Bianca in St. Clair. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome to hypothetical funland. Hypothetically, what would you call your kid?
Qantas.
Oh.
Travel around the world.
Yeah. So hypothetically, how good or how shit of a name do you think Qantas would be for a kid?
I think it's not too bad.
It's not too bad. It's got a nice ring to it. It's never been done, but it doesn't mean it can't be done.
It's quite exotic, like kind of chic.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, cool. Would the Qantas kid get to come on the Qantas flights with you?
No, I'd leave it at home, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Probably, better
for
me, but...
Yeah.
Ruthless!
Well, it's hypothetical fun, man.
Hypothetical.
Hypothetical that the Qantas boy can just stay at home and join the Qantas choir?
Boy, I think that sounds good, boy, yeah.
Sing out his days. Oh, yeah, you'd want it to be a boy. Grace in Melbourne. Welcome to Hypothetical.
Hey guys, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Just enjoying my time in a hypothetical spa at the moment in hypothetical Funland. Giving a hypothetical foot massage to a hypothetical hot model.
I love it.
What are you doing?
I would call my kid Caltex. Get free fuel for life.
Yeah, nice. There are people who want free flights in this world, and there are people who want free car journeys in this world.
And that's exactly right. I heard it was going to hit $2 a litre, so Caltex all the way.
Well, you're investing for the future because it's probably going to be $2 a litre when you hypothetically give birth to little baby Caltex. And by the time it's Caltex's 18th birthday, it's going to be up to $3 a litre. Why then?
Exactly right.
Don't
exactly.
mind the name Caltex as well.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. It's like cow and Tex.
Yeah.
Just hybrid.
Cool. Yeah, thanks, guys.
And you've got one of the most fuel-guzzling cars getting around and you don't even care about it. It's a smart decision in hypothetical funland. All right, Renee, wrap this up on 131060. Not that quick, though. What would you do, Renee?
I would call my child Verve.
Verve, like the champagne.
The fancy champers.
Absolutely.
How much of that can you really get through, though? You know, it could turn down a dangerous path.
How many bottles are you polishing off at the moment? Yeah, how long's the piece of string? That's good. I mean, because if you want an alcoholic mum, you want her to be a classy hypothetical funland mum with an alcoholic as well.
The Danny Lakey Late Show. The following content is of an adult nature, and it may make some listeners blush, say, oh my God, or even cause offence. Feel free to turn the radio down in 3, 2, 1.
Dr. Nikki Goldstein. Brought to you by drnikkishop.com.au. 10% off all purchases when you type Danny at the checkout.
How art thou, Dr. Nicholas?
Dr. Nicholas. Oh, I like that one.
She's a female.
Hey, we're gender neutral here.
All right, Dr. Nicholas it is.
I'm not. I'm a boy. I could see because there's a penis attached to me.
I don't want to see the penis attached to you, but I'm sure it's very beautiful.
I'm a man scorned, Dr. Nicholas, because I got a text message over the weekend from some chick who I think was just angry that we weren't in a relationship at some point. Haven't spoken to this lady for a couple of months. And then she goes, hey, hope you're well. I've been doing my own self-discovery work for a long time now and found out about attachment style and abandonment issues. Warning, it's heavy reading, but I know you're doing some self-discovery and thought you might want to look at it. I'm sending this because I care about you, my fellow human being, not because I'm trying to get into your pants. And then sent me 4 links. Passive-aggressive?
It's a bit
or something more?
I think it's a bit patronising,
I thought so.
Because, I mean, first of all, are you doing some self-discovery work?
Oh, I'm always self-discovering, aren't we?
She's basically saying you've got a problem and you've got some attachment type that you need to sort out.
How about you wear my type, lady?
No, but she's trying to say to you, you've got to work something out. Mm. So obviously this ended because some Danny issue came up and she's thinking...
not you as well!
Listen, we all know it's always a Danny issue.
I got no issues. I'm issue free.
But debatable.
If someone's not in your life, right, if this is an ex-fling, if there's not even a current friend, it's like, well, do they have a right to actually start saying to you, hey, I found this literature that's going to help your life?
100%.
So I think it's patronising, actually.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad you agree with me.
Keep your self-discovery to yourself.
Exactly. And just because she's got abandonment issues doesn't mean that everyone's got abandonment issues.
No, well,
Don't play part-time girlfriend, part-time psychologist. That's all I'll say to people who are trying to edge out of a relationship.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't reply. I didn't want to add fuel to the fire.
I think it's a smart move.
Hey, 131060, if you want to ask Dr. Nikki, the sexologist / relationship expert, a question tonight, give us a bell right now. Jen in North Sydney, you've called in. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. What's your question, Dr. Nikki?
Quick question. So I wanted to start having phone sex with my long-distance boyfriend, but I am a little more on the shy side. Any tips on how I can sort of loosen up?
Set your phone to 3G rather than 4G. It pixelates your body a little more.
No, we're talking about... Oh, are you talking about video or are you talking about just voice?
Either. I mean... If you've got tips for both, then great.
Okay, I'm going to say warm up with voice and work your way to video because it's less confronting. Also, you could make a cheat sheet, right? If he can't see you, then no one's actually going to know. So it's really easy to fake this in a way that it's about I desire, I feel. So you could put statements like that. I would really like to. And go from the top of your head to the tip of your toes. I would really like to do this to you. I would really like you to do this to me. Mm. That kind of starts that dirty talk in a really simple, easy way. Or I like it when. And you could even make notes and start to think of all the things that you've done or things that you desire that starts that conversation. And you say, I would really like you to do... How would it feel to you? What do you want to do to me? Start asking him questions. Get him involved. All the responsibility doesn't have to lay on your shoulders.
Mm. It's a good point you raise as well with the phone stuff, because you can get away with the deepest, darkest fantasies.
Yeah, I'm lying in your PJs.
I'm lying in a bed that I just made. Ooh.
I've got this sexy lingerie on, but then he's going to ask for the photo. That's the problem. So you could take a photo ahead of time.
No.
If you're wearing a sexy lingerie, but you want to do it while you're in your pajamas so you feel comfortable.
With a face mask on and a hot water bottle.
Exactly. Next time you have like a nice night out and you're all glammed up, take a selfie in the mirror in the sexy lingerie and then do the phone sex when you're chilling out in bed.
I caught a girl doing that once. She was like, "Oh, you want me to send you a dirty photo?" And then in the background it had like the time on the clock. And it was from a day. I was like, "That wasn't just then, was it? You're not giving me the last
feed." That was recycled. I bet you anything she sent that to like 15 guys. There's like a folder in her phone, sexy photos to send to men.
All I can say is I'm happy to be one of the shareholders in one of the hottest girls in the world. Hey, thanks, Jen. Good luck on your conquests with your boyfriend.
Maybe record it and then like send it in or something.
We can always accept videos
or
like
maybe
that.
Maybe we could do it, Danny. Like you and I could call him up and we could like slip some little statements in there and see if we can get away with it.
I love him pairing like a walrus in no time. 131060. Rachel in Melbourne. Hello, what's your question?
Hey, so my question is, what's the best way to use a vibrator during sex?
Okay, so I'm going to answer your question with another question. Are we talking about G-spot stimulation or clitoral stimulation?
I would say generally G-spot.
Oh, no!
Why no, Danny?
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you a little secret here. Okay. Men are very intimidated by large phallic vibrators that are designed for the G-spot because it makes us feel redundant.
Okay, well, I have an answer for that.
The clitoral stuff,
Not necessarily, right? You can get these wands that look like a power tool, right? They're massive things and they're meant for the clitoris.
Yeah.
You can also get smaller things that kind of hide and sneak in there that are for the G-spot.
But I want to hide and sneak in there.
Okay, you can do that. Okay, so there is an answer to this, right? And this is why we created a category of products called the couple's toys. So specifically, and if you want to head to Dr. Nikki's shop, they're on there. There is two products called the Sync and Unite, and they're by WeVibe. So they're like a C shape. And you can wear it, so it gets inserted, and one area stimulates the clitoris, so that's the added bonus if that's not what you're looking for, but the other arm sits against the G-spot and vibrates, and then you enter in as well. So the idea behind this is that for those that need a little bit of extra stimulation, it's a way to explore with sex toys and have an orgasm whilst having penetration sex.
Wow. Well, that is a game changer. I take all of that back. Sound good, Rachel?
I could solve your problem here, Danny.
Yeah.
I think double
pair that up with a man's cock ring and all of a sudden you'll be vibrating all over. You'll probably both vibrate off the bed.
You'll be really going off.
Thanks, Rachel. Lily in Brisbane. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks. What's your question, Dr. Nikki?
My boyfriend wants to have sex with me on our new, really expensive couch. Am I being uptight by saying no?
I actually have another really good solution for this one, right? I love nice furniture, so I completely get this, okay? You don't want to destroy the furniture. And then also, too, there's that kind of weird vibe of when you have people over and they sit on the couch and you think, I remember what I was doing there, which we can both work each way. Like, you can be a nice memory, but it can kind of freak you out. But let's focus on protecting our expensive furniture. So there is a product called the Fascinator, right? It's a Fascinator Throw by Liberator. You can also find that on Dr. Nikki's shop. And it's a nice velvety feeling throw that you can put over things and it absorbs liquids.
Oh.
So
perfect.
What I love about this, because I have really good sheets as well, right? And I love my nice linen. So you can throw it over anything, whether it's a bedroom furniture or you throw it over the couch. So there's the compromise. You can protect the expensive furniture, but you can also give him his fun, sexy time.
That's good. Compromise. That's real good.
That's good.
Not only does it save money long term with fabric cleaning, I, being a textures man, get very aroused and excited for silks, nylons, polyester weaves, etc.
I need to get you one, actually.
Does it come in latex?
No. One side's like fluffy velvet and the other side's silky. So I reckon you'd get off on the silky side.
Yeah, don't mind silky. I prefer adhesive plastics. Maybe I'll have to
wrap the couch?
Well, the trusty old twister mat that we put out from time to time on the couch, rolling around with a bit of strawberry scented oil. Oh. That's one for free, Lily and Brisbane. You can take that home with you.
That bushel out of my head.
Me too.
All right. Left bosom green, anyone? Thank you, Dr. Nikki Goldstein.
Thank you.
See you next week.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Right now, back to the information you say you discovered. I knew I made a mistake telling the shy guy that I came in here on the weekends to practice.
And you know that every time you record something, it gets saved in this magical musical audio world?
Well, I was recording it because there's a lot of singing going on in the show, in me stand-up slash comedy slash fringe show that I'm doing in Sydney next week. And I wanted to see how it sounded. And then that way, if I can record the whole 45 minutes of me pretending to do a dress rehearsal, essentially, in front of the microphone, I then listen to it every night just before I go to bed. So it's like ingrained in my memory.
Learn it off by heart.
Yeah, 45 minutes is a long time. It's hard to remember everything.
It's a long time to be standing up there on your own trying to be funny.
Yeah.
Sorry to make you feel a bit more nervous.
It's going well. I've sold 2 tickets, guys, to the Thursday night show.
Only 2. So it's next week, next Thursday, Friday and Sunday.
You know consumer pattern, Chewy Louie. They won't buy the tickets till the last minute. It's all right. I'm not panicking just yet.
Hopefully we can get to 3 tickets. Yeah, anyway, we had to listen to some of the audio. I'd like to play you back
This is illegal, I'll have you know. You can't be eavesdropping in on things.
Don't be recording things in the office if you don't want us to snoop on it.
Oh, God. All right. You want me to play this thing that says one?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give a very warm welcome to Danny Lakey and his Hips, Lips, Nips and Bits show.
What's wrong with this?
The bit that concerns me. This bit.
That's what I run out. That's what I walk out to.
Okay, why the hell are you walking out to How Much Is That Doggy in the Window? I remember that song from when I was like 10.
Yeah, people won't be expecting it. People imagine like a big rock song or something, ampy, everyone's just going to come out to Little Doggy in the Window. There's a joke about dogs as well. Like, it'll all tie in. You can't be taking things out of context like this. It's not going to sound funny like that.
Yeah, well, I hope
There'll be a good payoff with the Doggy in the Window
intro.
I hope
it's funnier than you just walking out going, hey guys, it's me, Little Doggy in the Window.
I don't do that. That bit will be funny. And right. I've got a professional. You hear that professional voiceover man at the start?
Who's that?
That's a guy who works in the office.
Yeah,
paid him $10.
Huge profession.
Put a little echo sound effect on it.
Okay,
sounds like it's live.
There's
bloody
a few
brilliant.
More bits that have concerned me, Lakey.
Number 2 here.
So, me and the missus, we're expecting a child pretty soon. Thank you. Very promising to hear that.
You've left these gaps. Like, you've left these gaps as if you're expecting people to laugh. Like, it's not that funny. And also, you don't have a missus.
No.
You don't have a baby. Are you trying to lie to your audience?
I'm allowed to add little extra bits of mayo in my personal life to make sure that a joke makes sense. It's crucial that I have a missus for the joke. You're not taking in the end bit. And I've tried that before at a comedy club. And I'm just waiting for people to clap. I'm expecting a child, people clap.
Yeah, what if you leave those awkward silent bits and there's no laughter and then you're just long pauses?
I'll read the room.
Dramatic pause.
That's not where people are supposed to laugh. That's where people are supposed to clap. And it's funny if only a few people clap. I've got to... Oh, God.
Wait and see.
Oh, God. No.
All right, there's another bit.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh. Have you overstepped the mark here, Daniel? Could it be because the car we're driving in is a manual? No, I don't think so.
Bit of parody
have
work.
Have you thought about auto-tune? We have an audio producer called Geezer here, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind helping you out.
The Geezer is well aware of that song, and his editing skills have come to the forefront there.
Because you'll be doing that live.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it'll be funny.
I'm not sure how the audience are going to go. Maybe you should put earmuffs on everyone's seats.
No, I've got a backing track. I said to the audio guys, I said, can you make the music like Beyonce would be doing a live stage?
So now you're comparing yourself to Beyonce.
What would the backing bit for Beyonce be? Make that, and then I'll sing it live as well, over the top, because I can't sing live.
I really look forward to seeing that bit. And this last bit of audio has got to be my favourite.
Guys. He's getting these
onions
cheap. No, this won't be.
Just a bloke in a G-string.
He's fully tone deaf.
Yeah, that.
People will walk out mid-show.
That bit won't be performed, I can assure you. That was my computer shut down. I just wanted to finish it off. That was a naked version of the singing.
I bloody hope so, because as soon as the shy guy and I heard that, we thought, hang on a moment.
No, you know what? People need to get behind me for this show. If you're going to be in Sydney next week, can we pledge? Can you pledge that we can have a third person attend the show? Because 2's awkward.
Please.
You know what they say. 3's a crowd, 2's a bit awkward.
Will you be the third ticket buyer to see Lakey's Fringe show?
Can I get an amen, a secure promise? And we'll give you some movie tickets. I will bribe people, because I am getting a little bit worried that only 2 people have bought tickets.
You have to bribe
people
to your Fringe show.
It's a 50-seat room.
If I can half fill it, I'll be happy. But if I can get the third cab off the rank, I'll be very happy. 13 10 60. If you're going to be in Sydney next Thursday, Friday or Sunday, can you guarantee that you'll come to the show? Tiff in Mildura. Mildura's in Victoria, yeah? So you...
Hey, Danny.
Hello. Mildura's in Victoria, but you're keen to make the trip up?
Actually, I can't make it, but I still want to buy a ticket. Tell me how I can buy a ticket.
Do not do that. You
it's
know?
Great,
no,
Lakey.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
We want to help you out.
Let me support you.
Excuse me. That'll be even worse, because then you're just buying a ticket and there'll be an empty seat. All you're doing is guaranteeing an empty seat.
Huh? I wish I could go, Danny. If I could go, I would. At least I get a ticket that says that I have something that says Danny Lakey.
No, do not be printing out tickets and treating that as memorabilia.
Jeff.
No, don't do it. Seriously, don't do that, because then I'll have...
Shy Guy, send her the link.
It's guaranteed not to...
Yes, Shy Guy.
It's guaranteed.
On Instagram.
It's guaranteed not to be a sellout if you buy. Do not buy a ticket because you hate me and you want me. You want to see me perform to an empty room. No, please don't. Please don't. Jessica in Sydney. Hello. This is my audience. This is the real crowd coming through now. Hello, Jessica. Are you keen to see the show?
I am, yes.
Oh, great. There we go.
There we go. There's three people in the room.
We got a third audience member, guys. Now all of a sudden I can do a whole heap more crowd work. It just opens up so many more possibilities, you see. Will you be bringing someone? Very bizarre to come to a show by yourself.
I will bring my partner.
Hello, now we're at four. Whoa. Okay, maybe we should book a bigger room. It's smelling a whole lot like an arena spectacular all of a sudden. Thanks, Jess. If you could come on the Thursday, that'd be great. But Friday or Sunday would work as well.
Look, I work night shift, so Sunday's the night for me that
great.
We'll be there.
Great. Oh, fantastic. Thanks, Jess.
Fabulous, Jess.
Nick in Lake Eildon. You'll be in Sydney next week.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, I will.
Looks like we've got...
You could have done something with Husey earlier with that feet thing.
Yeah, could have done.
When they were trying to work out whose feet were whose, Husey would have had his foot in his mouth.
I mean, maybe you could do a little five-minute support act.
Yeah, you were looking for a support act.
I booked the room for 50 minutes, and I've only got 45 worth of gear. If you could open, well, I'll tell you what, maybe we could do a discounted ticket price as well. You warm up the crowd for me, and then a front row seat for you, big boy. Thank you, Nick.
Teamwork.
Daniel in Sydney. Oh, this is great. Hey. Now, geez, I might have to do another show. I might have to open up
all
the
right,
Saturday night
slot.
Let's
not get too ahead of ourselves, Lakey.
You can go to the Instagram on the Danny Lakey Late Show. That is where the tickets are. It's on the store. It's on the post as well.
Yep, it's everywhere.
We're milking the shit out of it, but no one's buying it so far. Daniel, you're keen to come?
Look, how bad can it be, really?
Thank you. Yeah, I'll take it.
Love the support.
I'll take it. The answer is...
Yeah, sure.
Get in the zone, this chick. That's how bad it could be, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
Can't wait.
Bring the boys. Bring the boys, though, Daniel. Bring the boys. Yes.
Now the boys.
We're up to 10. This is huge. Damien in Bali, last call. Wrap this up on 13 10 60. It's quite clear now that I'm bringing an international audience, someone who's keen to take an overseas flight.
Boots.
Oh, no, he's hung up. Thank you, Damien. Well, I'll be performing to 8 people. Thank you. It means the world to me.
All right, cheers. If you want the tickets, Danny Lakey Late Show Instagram, and click on the link in our bio or sydneyfringe.com.
Don't buy tickets if you're not planning on
Please
going.
Please buy any.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
I love you.
Swipe left, swipe right. It's Australia's most love-matched radio segment. The Danny Lakey Radio Show's Radio Tinder.
Yeah, baby. This is, by no shadow of a doubt, the biggest love story going on in Australian media tonight. I mean, I couldn't even think of a close second.
I think I can.
How dare you switch alliances with me?
Traitor!
Who would I rather be listening to, Matt Agnew or Danny Lakey?
Oh, come on. He's like watching a Dulux white paint wall dry. Jesus Christ.
He's divine.
Let's get to know our new bachelorette. She's 20 years old, works at a pub. She's a waitress, a bartender, a basketball coach. Blonde hair, 5'8", curvy but not fat. Loves playing basketball, loves to drink, socialising, loves concerts, looking for a strong man that isn't afraid to be himself. Someone a bit rough around the edges, but a sweetheart. Oh my God, it's Sophia!
Hello!
Jeez, they weren't lying about the bubbles. Plenty of bubbles going on in your jacuzzi. Oh, hang on a second. Shy Guy, is this the lady that contacted on the Instagram post tonight?
It is.
Whoa! Hot girl alert. Hot girl alert. Can vouch. 10 out of 10 would bang. 10 out of 10 would bang.
She's right there.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said it.
Well, if tonight doesn't work out, you've got Lakey as a backup. Oh,
congratulations on your sexy DNA. No, seriously. They're doing the office rounds today. We had a couple of people ring up, obviously, and a couple of people who apply on the Instagram. We put it on the story. And we clicked it. Jeez, have a look at this. Wow. What have we come across here? James Cook and all his mates.
That heavy breathing.
Oh, it's true though. Curvy but not fat. I get it. No, it's like porn star chub. It's real tight stuff. It's good.
Oh my God.
It is. What do you like doing?
Sorry,
apart from
Sophie.
No, this is all good gear. 13 10 60 if you like the sound of Sophia. How long have you been single for, Soph?
I've been single now for, I'd say, like 4 months.
Nice. Just the right amount of time to get right back on the horse. How many sort of casual things have been going on between your last serious relationship?
Oh, a couple?
Yeah. A
couple. I like the high pitch.
Just a couple. Four or five. Yeah, nice. And in the bedroom, what sort of guy are you looking for? Someone who can take charge, a man's man, a masculine guy, one of the great Subaneers?
I love a man that takes charge and knows what he's doing.
Yeah, nice. So with someone who takes charge and comes with knows what they're doing, there comes probably an age range as well. You don't want some 18-year-old spring chicken who's just growing his feathers.
Hell no.
What are we capping it at tonight?
I would say the oldest I'd go would be 28.
No, 30.
Why are you always trying to push girls into old men silver fox territory?
Age ain't nothing but a number, Lakey.
That's true. I do have an older woman complex. But I've also got a 20-year-old lady complex. I run the rack. We all run the rack. Age is just but a number, sure. Okay, well, the lines are already sort of lining up here. If you had one message to let out to your Prince Charming tonight, what would it be before we get some callers on the air next?
Just make sure you're fun and treat me right and don't break my heart.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Love it.
You heard the lady. 13 10 60, lads. If you're between the ages of 20 and 30, know how to treat a woman right, give us a call right now. Sophia's going to prepare 3 questions.
The Danny Lakey Late Show. Radio Tinder.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. Well, if you're looking for love tonight, you've come to the right place. We just met 20-year-old Sophia before, a.k.a. the buxom blonde off Instagram. You've been creating quite a stir in the workplace, I'll have you know, Sophia.
Oh, God.
Likes basketball, is a basketball coach, as well as a pub waitress. Blonde hair, 5'8", curvy but not fat. Can't agree enough. Seen the pics, 10 out of 10 can confirm. Loves a drink, socialising, loves concerts, looking for a strong man that isn't afraid to be himself and knows what he's doing in the boudoir. Yeah. But don't even second guess yourself in the boudoir. If you're going to be running your lady a bath, don't even be like, is this the right temperature? Too hot? Too cold? A little bit tepid for you, madam? No, you just got to have the confidence. But hey, babe, bath's ready. That kind of guy.
This is how the temperature's going to be.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Deal with it.
44.3. Yours and my favourite. Let's meet man number one. He's called Kelsey. He's 29. He runs a landscaping company. Brown hair, athletic, 6 foot. Loves going to the beach, hanging outdoors, getting out on the water, boats, etc. Hello, Kelsey.
Hey, how are we going, guys?
Good, thank you. Just teetering on the brink of alpha and beta male at this stage. Just on the fence. I'm intrigued.
Not too deep of a voice.
No, but not too light of a voice either. Someone who couldn't be backed into a corner, but isn't exactly in the centre of the square. Sophie, Sophia, what's your question to Kelsey?
If you had to eat one cereal for breakfast for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh, the one question you're going to get me on, because I don't actually eat cereal, but let's do a throwback to when I was a bit younger. Probably do Weet-Bix, just because it's fairly healthy for you.
Ooh, interesting.
Oh, the cornflakes.
Was it interesting?
Oh, well, it just shows you a bit plain Jane.
Well, what does the man actually eat these days, Kelsey? Are you a no-breakfast boy or an eggs and bacon dude?
Well, at the moment, I actually do shakes. I'm in the old shake fad, so just, doing something different. Yeah.
Shred life. Protein. Yeah. Meat. Yeah. Boys. Lads. Steak.
100%.
Okay. Well, Kelsey likes a liquid lunch. Remember that, Sophie? Luke.
I will.
In Newcastle. He's 30 years old. He's a rigger at a power station. Rides bikes, 5'11". Italian. Oh, hello. Hello. Italian stallion.
Everyone's doing shakes for breakfast. That's nothing special.
Whoa, now someone's dominating.
There's
now
beef.
Someone's asserted themselves as an alpha.
What you need is Fruit Loops with unicorn marshmallows.
Oh. He's gone the classic step on someone else's answer and now reap the rewards by getting to answer a second question. True alpha
Thank
moon.
You.
What's your question, Sophia?
Do you prefer being the big or little spoon?
Oh, that wasn't the question they gave me.
No, it wasn't.
Just depends on what night it is. Everyone has needs.
I like being the big spoon all the time. I find it physically condescending.
I love being the little spoon.
Really?
Yeah, well, that's because we're made up of different genetic makeup. That's good.
Being the big spoon, it's too hard. Like, I'm like, hang on.
Like a little koala leeching on a gum tree or
correct.
Something.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, Lukey, depending on what kind of mood he's in, what would have been the correct answer, Sophia?
Well, I like a man that's the big spoon because it's comforting for me when I'm having a cuddle if I'm the little spoon.
Yeah. It's always like that. We're made of different structures. I need to be the big spoon. My lady needs to be a little spoon. Yeah. Ooh, sometimes Fruit Loops are little unicorns and depending on what kind of night it is. Kieran, man number 3. 30 years old, project manager, athletic, blonde, blue eyes, tanned, loves the gym, camping, fishing. What's your question to Kieran?
If you had to have one sex position for the rest of your life, what position would it be?
I bet Luke's going, damn it, that was my question.
Yep.
We'll go back to it's Cocoa Pops, Big Spoon and Doggy Style.
Yes, Kieran!
Oh, he's answered all three!
Nailed it!
Unbelievable! Yeah, I like that. Cocoa Pops, Big Spoon, Doggy Style. That's what you want in a man.
Kieran's got a great voice as well, real deep. Can you just do a hello for us again, Kieran?
Hello.
Oh yeah.
Oh, God. It pains me to say it, but I want to be you. I'm downloading Tinder again on the 1st of October, and I'm going to put Cocoa Pops, Big Spoon, Doggy. And then a dog emoji. Okay. The time has come, Sophia. For you to choose your lawfully wedded husband, will it be 29-year-old man Kelsey, who is living off shakes for breakfast but doesn't mind a Weet-Bix, and Luke, who would live off Fruit Loops with unicorns, or Kieran, the Cocoa Pop, Big Spoon, Doggy Style kind of guy?
I'm going to have to go for Luke, guy number 2.
Oh, wow.
What about Kieran?
What about Kieran?
Sorry, I had to jump in. Hard ones with the hard ones.
Yeah, to be honest, I can't see how Kieran's not gotten over the line there. Sportsbet had him at $1.02. The market is shook. Tom Waterhouse is crapping his dacks right now. But Luke, the 30-year-old man, rigger, power station, riding bikes, do you take Sophia to be your lawfully wedded Facebook girlfriend?
Definitely.
Huge. Huge from you guys.
I'm on it.
No problem.
Well, this is awkward, but it'll get better. It'll get better. This is always about to be the awkward bit
first
in the situation,
minutes.
Isn't it? Yeah.
You guys. The cops are trying to pull me over.
Okay, don't. Yep. Yeah, okay, you are now dating.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Woman blasts her fiancé for installing a chocolate safe in the fridge. Stop her from eating all the snacks.
I saw this and I would be ducked because I'm a big snacker.
Yeah.
What's yours is mine, you know?
It's interesting. I mean, there's a few different ways you could skin this legal cat. The man has gotten sick of the wife, dare I say, taking more than her fair share of chocolate.
Oh, it's a bloody chocolate bar, Lakey.
Oh, go! All right, you bring a chocolate bar in tomorrow, shall I have 90% of the chocolate bar and you can have 10%?
No, I'll give you a little whack.
Exactly. There's a lot of percentage that goes into sharing a chocolate bar. It's got to be 50-50 down the middle. If you abuse that, if you abuse 60, that.
40.
Well, this man's sick of it. Mother Stacey Lowe has shared a hilarious post on her Facebook account. The UK-based woman opened her fridge to find a secret locked box inside. It turns out her fiancé, Dave Williams, had purchased a $54 locker box for sweets. He placed some of her favourite snacks inside so she couldn't access them because only he knows the code.
I'd be so mad.
That would be one of the great stressful kitchen scenarios, isn't it? Trying to crack the safe before the fridge starts beeping, letting you know it's losing too much coolness. What I don't like about this, and I mean, we'll take this into the communal fridge courtroom in a second. What I don't like is the see-throughness of the safe. What sort of safe is see-through?
Because then she can see everything
exactly.
That's inside.
That's where you're drawing and twisting the knife.
And also, that's torture, because she can see the chockies inside.
Exactly. I'm all for a safe inside the fridge if the chocolate relationship's gone to that level, but see-through? God, I think you got grounds to appeal there.
In the criminal justice system,
communal fridge conflicts
are considered especially heinous. These are their stories.
It's time to enter the communal fridge courtroom.
And we are taking a few cases tonight on 131060. If there is any drama going on in kitchens around the country, communal fridges, maybe workplace communal fridges, maybe a five-person house share, stealing certain things, putting things in certain compartments in the fridge, happy to represent you in the communal fridge courtroom tonight.
I have this issue at work. A lot of us girls will get the same hummus. Same brand.
Oh, yeah.
And then I find that all of us are just dipping into each other's without realising.
Okay.
So I had a hummus and then the other I opened it about 2 days ago, half gone. It was my hummus, lady, not yours.
Have you labelled your hummus?
No, lady.
Not guilty!
Ladies can't be tried for hummus that's not named. Do you know that? Rule 7.33. If you don't
Whatever,
have your name
man.
On the hummus... You can't accuse anyone of stealing your hummus. Nah, no chance. I think this man will be locked up for his see-through safe in the fridge. But the hummus, you got to ride on it. You got to bring a Sharpie. Come back in 6 months' time if you're still having the same problem. 131060, Bianca in Brisbane. I believe you have a case. Happy to represent tonight. Talk us through it.
So I used to have a roommate that used to take my ripe avocados and leave her... either too hard or too soft avocados. Mm. And she never said, she never knew the problem with it because she would say that she was replacing the avocados. But mine were always that perfect peak. You know, you'd leave them for two, 3 days and they'd be the perfect amount. And, she never saw the problem with it. And I ended up asking her to move out.
Wow.
Because I couldn't handle it.
Good. Yeah, and some may say that's a little too harsh, but it's like the old saying goes, you buy Friday's avocado on Monday.
Yeah, 100%. You've got to wait it out. It's a waiting game.
It's absolutely a waiting game. And one ripe avocado versus one avocado that you just brought from Coles, absolutely not.
Not the same thing.
Another 4-day wait there. It seems like you took matters into your own hands as a lawyer in the communal fridge courtroom. May I recommend by not doing that in future, but good on you. Going to have to say...
Guilty.
She's guilty. There's no doubt about it.
Yep. You can't be doing that with the avos. They're treasures.
Order the defendant to pay Bianca 7 ripe avocados. Thanks, Bianca. Movie tickets for you. Andrew, in Melbourne.
Hey, mate. How are you going?
Good, thank you. Welcome to the communal fridge courtroom. What's the
thank
case?
Thank you. So we've got a serious issue going on at home. Mm. My wife and I both really love cheese. And it's come to the point now where we've decided to get separate blocks of cheese. And keep them separately in the fridge. So I have a certain block of brie that I like, a certain block of cheddar, and likewise for herself. However, now what's been happening is now that once her cheese is finished, she starts to eat out of mine instead of going to buy herself some new cheese. And this is a serious issue. It's causing serious marital issues at home, buddy.
I bet. Is she spreading it evenly between the block of cheddar and the wheel of brie? Or does she have a particular
favorite? She opens the fridge, whatever she feels like on that day. She'll just whack a slice out of it instead of going to Coles or saving getting another one.
Whatever, cheesy mood the lass is in. How do you know she's taking it? Is she being upfront and honest saying, I stole your cheese? Or have you been keeping tabs on where the cheese was last?
No, she's being sneaky. And I know, because obviously it's my own personal block. Yep. Nobody would have eaten it except me. So I know how much cheese is left.
Yep, I've marked
it's
my own cheese. It's like when you suspect your mum may be going through your drawers and you got porno mags in there, you put a little bit of sticky tape on the drawer and then get home and see if it's moved. Just me?
Yeah, I think that definitely just you.
Interesting. Look, I'm going to award the plaintiff the benefit of the doubt here. Your wife.
Guilty.
Absolutely guilty. Throw her.
You can't help it when you're a cheese lover, though.
Absolutely.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
It's time to find Australia's fastest servo worker.
Every Thursday we do this, Australia's fastest servo worker. We shall call someone. I shall ask if they stock 53-gram tubes of original Pringles, and if so, how much? In a perfect world, they will locate the Pringles in under 6.11 seconds. That is currently the record for the Australia's fastest servo worker. Still belonging to Gilbert up there, Puma, in Darwin. 16th of May, that magic happened. Now, can I just interject here, Shuey Louie, before we find out where we're going tonight? Slight problem with the phone system.
Oh, dear.
Very difficult to call a servo worker when the phones are down in studio. But we shall not yield. I'm going to do it on my phone tonight. I'm going to pop it on loudspeaker.
Are you sure about this?
Absolutely.
I don't want to ruin Andrew's chance.
How's he going to know what phone I'm on? No, it'll be all right.
We were going. I can't even pronounce it. Joondalup?
Oh, Joondalup.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joondalup in WA.
That's the one.
Joondalup?
A Puma.
Oh, another Puma.
Another Puma.
See, the Puma Energies are renowned for their fast times.
You know, Gilbert speaks for itself. 6.1, he was a Puma guy. Third place, Puma Energy. 6.73.
To have two out of the three from Puma is, I mean, that's something that the Puma CEO needs to know about.
It's huge. We should write to them.
No wonder they're called Puma Energy.
We should get them on.
Absolutely.
But there's a guy called Andrew tonight and Puma.
Joondalup.
So, there we go.
Can you pass me the phone number over, please, so I can dial it into my phone? I'll pop it on loudspeaker. Hopefully this works. I'll jack my mic up a little bit as well. Going to go to Puma Joondalup. Off my phone because the phones here are down at the moment. Here we go. Come on. Yes.
Puma Joondalup, Andrew speaking.
Hi there, Andrew. Do you stock 53-gram tubes of original Pringles? And if so, how much?
Sorry, one second.
Thank
what
you.
Size, sorry, mate?
53-gram, the travel size.
Yes. They are $3.70.
Hang on.
That was pretty bloody quick.
That felt under 3 seconds.
I mean, I don't want to sort of jump straight away, but that seemed bloody quick. 6.11 was Puma Love Milk. That felt way sub six.
That felt like 2 seconds.
Shuey Louie, you've got the official time there.
Ooh, okay. Andrew's official time is 5.11.
Oh,
Mikey,
my God.
We've got a new record.
Hang on, hold up. Unbelievable scenes late in the piece.
Oh, my good God.
It's the servo that keeps on delivering the high speed.
This is incredible news. I never thought we'd beat 6.11.
It's the lucky phone. Puma in Love Miller. Andrew, new clubhouse gem, exactly 1 second faster than Gilbert.
This is great news.
Puma in Darwin, which means three of the top four are now Puma representatives. This is
bloody
huge from them.
Good.
Right around the country, it's the Danny Lakey Late Show. Brand new record holder in Australia's fastest servo worker.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Our next guest had her heart broken on The Bachelor last night.
If I have to be honest with myself and with you, my heart belongs with someone else.
But she did leave the whole experience loving one particular thing.
I got a raspberry, and that's all that really matters.
After a make-out session with a packet of fresh raspberries on the way here, please give a big, warm Friday night game show welcome to Abby!
Joining us on the phone, the raspberry lover herself. I, too, enjoy hooking up with a good punnet of old raspberries from time to time.
Oh, my God, I love that intro. I love the raspberry mention. That's hilarious.
Oi, how was it last night? Because we were watching with bated breath. It just so happened that the final finale rejection scene happened during our ad breaks, Abby, and it looked for a second like Matt was real keen.
Yeah, I mean, I think Matt's a victim of the nervous smile, so I'll give him that. But, yeah, it wasn't the easiest thing in the world to go through or to watch, but I'm just glad that it's all out in the open now and I can kind of start to properly move on, yeah.
Did you, when you walked up to Matt, did you have a gut feeling that he was going to pick you? Like, did you honestly think, yep, this is it, we're together?
Yeah, well, he was smiling. He had a huge smile on his face. Yeah. And he was kind of doing this, like, half nod. And I think that he was just, like, a nervous, like, oh, my God, it's it. But in my mind, I was like, oh, great. Like, I have nothing to worry about. So, yeah, I definitely was completely blindsided.
Well, let me just congratulate you. Easily that beach scene has fallen into one of my top five best PG television erections of all time. That was huge the
Lakey other night. Was loving it. Honestly, oh, we were on air God. And I was like, just stop looking at it. We're honestly, trying to do a radio show.
Nah, it was great. It was definitely in the top five. I mean, I got an erection and I was standing up at the same time. It's very tough to have a stand-up erection.
It was very awkward for me watching the whole thing go down.
Watching the whole thing come up, oh, really. God. It was great. I mean, to be honest, if we deconstruct, it's probably top three. It would go Ali Ochin on Bachi in Paradise during the cabana scene, Kieran Maguire during the crying spider scene on I'm a Celeb, Get Me Out of Here. That was a weird one. I'm not even sure what happened to my body during that. But then you and Matt down at the beach just gyrating. Strong gyrating.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah, it was intense, wasn't it? It was a lot to watch that. Yeah. I didn't really realise it looked like that. It's a bit confronting.
How far away were the cameras? Because I'm always imagining they're just like lurking really close and you guys just forget they're there, or are they quite far away?
No, they're like quite far away. I mean, they're far enough away that you kind of, yeah, you do forget a bit. It's easy to forget.
Were you watching it back and cringing, or was the little party going, shit, I look real hot? I mean, my game is on point. I mean, you moved your body in all sorts of ways. You must be proud.
I mean, I wasn't cringing at all. I thought it was, you know, it happened. It was how I wanted to express my feelings at the time. So, yeah, no regrets there.
What's the ratio of people hating that scene who are sliding into your DMs versus the ratio of people loving those scenes that are sliding into your DMs?
I think people were more shocked about what I said in that scene when I said, I just want to have sex with you, I'm really horny. So,
but people, I thought,
oh my gosh, yeah, I was. Like, I was just being honest with the man. But I think I was expecting everyone to, like, come back with complete, like, hate and backlash. But everyone started to be like, oh my God, this is so funny. And she just vocalized what we were all thinking she was thinking.
Yeah.
So, like, it actually wasn't too bad. Yeah, I think people kind of were just like, God, she just doesn't care, does she?
I love it. And we need to see more pushing the sort of sexual envelope on television these days. The only people that were hating that are fat Barbaras who've got their stumpy old fingers into a packet of Doritos, haven't made love to their fat husband in 30 years, just think, how can she do that and I can't? Why's the world so unfair and stacked in Abby's favour? Oh. I love it. Hey, Abby, it's the Danny Lakey Friday Night Game Show. Can you stick around and we can play a quick game with you next?
Absolutely. Sounds great.
Danny Lakey Late Show.
It's time to play. Have they filmed a sex scene?
We figured who else would know if a famous actress has filmed a sex scene or not rather than the great Abby Chatfield. I mean, clearly you've been watching and studying a lot of on-screen sex scenes because the way you moved your body, your gluteus maximuses, your hips, your lips, your nips and your bits was something to bestow.
He's
probably watching it on repeat. I wouldn't be surprised.
They've blocked me on 10play. I have streamed it that many times. We'll just ask the actress, and you just need to say whether or not they filmed a sex scene. Ready to go?
Alrighty, let's do it.
Susan Sarandon, have they filmed a sex scene or not?
Well, does Rocky Horror count?
The Rocky Horror does count.
Yes!
There we go. It's that one.
That's the
one. One of the great sex scenes.
Genius.
I wish a lady would sing that sort of cabaret one. I'm making love to them. Congratulations, one out of one. What about Will Ferrell?
No. Surely not.
Oh, God. That's where you're wrong, I'm afraid.
Oh, we're going there.
Anchorman!
Yeah, I'm really bad at movie quotes. I'm actually really scared of this.
All right, one out of two so far. What about Jessica Alba?
Yeah.
No.
Surely.
No, definitely not.
She's an angel.
Yeah, repulsed by sex scene, she says.
Wow. Shit, we're different, aren't we?
What about Megan Fox?
Yeah. Surely.
No, she's a sex symbol, but she will never film a sex scene. Says it's degrading to women. Jesus. Jesus.
Oh, Megan Fox.
Yeah.
God, the girl's letting me down.
Hey, she would have hated your beach scene. She would have vomited in her own mouth. What about this one? Fifth and final, Amy Schumer.
Yes, surely. In like a joking way, she would have.
Give me my full pecker.
Oh, remember that in Trainwreck?
John Cena and her.
Yes. Oh, yeah. One of the great sex scenes. There's John Cena finishing it off at the end. Well done there, yeah. Now I incorporate the pecker talk into my sexy bedroom
Please
talk.
Don't do that again.
Yes.
Except the pecker. That's amazing.
Abby from The Bachelor, it's been a pleasure watching you with Matt.
Thank you so much, guys.
Your PG rated saucy
right, enough
scenes
of will, it, Lakey.
Will forever be in my top five. It was one of the great scenes. Thank you.
I'm glad I'll stay in the top five. Thanks so much, guys.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.